Welcome to another edition of the 40 Minutes of Tell podcast. It's kind of a weird edition, like a joint farewell and a hello, like sort of joint deal. Obviously, I'm Jimmy Carter, and this is something I started back in October. Something I thought a lot of people would be interested in, and you know, the response has been good. And but I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know by now that tomorrow I'm recording this on Thursday night. Friday's my last day at the paper. I'm going to be starting a job at Walmart's corporate office on Monday. And I'm sitting here with my replacement. He's going to be much better than me, I'm sure.
Don't know about all that.
a lot of you in Northwest Arkansas probably know him already, and you guys are going to get to know him really well. Scotty Bordelon. I don't even know if I said your last name. I just always assume that's how you pronounce your last name.
Yeah, I've heard it pronounced every different way imaginable, saying it spelled every different way imaginable, but yeah, you got it. You're pretty close.
Okay. Well, for those of you that don't know, Scotty has been covering, he went to the U of A, and he's been covering local high schools for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's isn't the first time I've kind of followed you. Chip plucked me out of Fort Smith a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Tell the people about yourself.
Last August. And I guess when he needed a Springdale replacement, and he went and plucked me, and got up here and got the Springdale beat, and then he added Springdale Harbor to it.
So yeah, which is a tricky.
That's kept me busy.
Yeah, and not even just like the workload, but I mean, anybody around here knows like the dynamics of that situation.
It's never boring.
Yeah, I mean, you always have like Gary Reed. I know there's no chance.
He called you a sellout
in hell. I know he did. I know. That's okay. I'm cool with that. I can, you know, I owe him a bet still from the 2016 NBA Finals.
I might still owe him one too.
Yeah,
we kind of lost track of our bets during football season.
Oh, see, I think this is the first time I'd ever lost a bet to him. Honestly, maybe I did one other time.
Yeah, because you had like that perfect record when you were picking Springdale games.
Well, and he would always pick Springdale too, because Gary, you know,
kind of helped you out.
Love him, and you know, they were not that great whenever I covered them. Better now, he was insistent that the Cavs were going to win, and obviously the Warriors blew the 3-1 lead, and Draymond kicking LeBron
changed everything.
Really, my man Kevin, I'm sitting here watching now, just ball out. But getting sidetracked. So tell people a little bit about yourself, like where you grew up and all that stuff. For those listeners who probably don't know.
Yeah, well, nobody's gonna know where my hometown is.
I didn't actually know it until Matt posted on the message board today.
Like, I think I can count on one hand the number of people up here that know where Sparkman, Arkansas is, but it's in the south central part of the state. Sparkman's a little bitty town. It's like 500.
1A, right?
Yeah, Class A.
You balled out at the 1A level?
All conference.
Were you really?
Yeah, it's all conference, junior and senior.
He's like, this isn't a video deal, but he kind of like puffed his chest out as he said it.
I played basketball.
Very proud of that fact.
Down there. Didn't get any offers out of high school. That was a joke.
Didn't you have a signing press conference though?
Yeah, we all signed like.
I think I've seen a picture from that.
Academic scholarship.
Yeah.
And I like to send that picture out on signing day. I was like, it must be great. I feel like really good for these kids that are actually signing to go play college ball somewhere and not just going an academic scholarship. But yeah, grew up in Sparkman, which is, I guess it's for me about 3.5 hours south of here. For others, it's like 4.
There you go.
But
that's like, so you're driving through the hills though, right? At least some of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I either go like through Mount Ida and Waldron in that direction or take the interstate. I like to go the interstate. But
oh, so you and Matt are going to have the Waldron like sort of, because you know he's from Waldron.
Yeah, yeah. I've walked into his office before I saw the Waldron.
The helmet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Anyway, I graduated from Sparkman in 2011. I graduated from Arkansas in 2015. I got to Arkansas as a freshman. I kind of knew ahead of time what I wanted to do as far as like a major. So I kind of jumped right into it, but for some reason, just being a dumb freshman, like I didn't get involved with like student media or anything like that until like the end of my sophomore year. And the first interview I did was with Antoine Bell,
Dude, I loved Antoine Bell's game.
Antoine Bell was a great
I think that's probably why I was such a sucker for CJ. Anybody that can shoot or if you're a point guard, I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, I remember talking to him, and then I talked to Sebastian Kaplan, who was like an all-conference. I think he was like an all-conference or an all-American golfer.
Yeah.
And wrote a couple stories for like the summer orientation issue. And then I came back that fall and started kind of just as getting paid by the story. And by that next...
Which is like what? Whenever I was like there, it was like $8. Oh, so $10. Bumped up.
Yeah.
I think. Account for inflation and bump it up.
Right. But by January, I got bumped up to a senior sports writer and was basically just covering mainly basketball. And then by my senior year, I was the sports editor for the Traveler. And then graduated from there. I got kind of lucky right out of school. Eric Bolin.
Hate the guy. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
He left, I guess it was for the Arkansas News Bureau.
Yeah, he took Robbie Nicewanger's spot.
And so I covered Fort Smith Northside for like a year and 2 days.
Which is a great beat.
Yeah, it was great. Loved covering Ricky Smith's teams and Eric Burnett and Mike Fuller and all those guys. And got to cover Isaiah Joe. That's kind of one of my deals is I covered Isaiah Joe when he was a sophomore, like before he played any varsity ball. Go over and watch a practice one time. I'm just like, God, that kid's going to be really good.
I remember
claiming that one.
Yeah, no, I'll props to you because I did. I was at the time working for the DG doing NWADG, I guess, doing preps up here, like mostly Springdale. But I mean, you and me both like love basketball, and so at the start of every year, like I guess the 3 years I was there, I do this big long like basketball preview about pretty much every school and a lot of the players in the area, and I remember texting you or something about Northside. And, I mean, obviously everybody knew Tevin Brewer, and we're kind of getting off in the weeds here, but everybody knew about Tevin Brewer and everything. But you were like, man, this Isaiah Joe kid, I think he was going to be like a freshman maybe, or maybe he was about to be a sophomore.
It was his sophomore year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, you ought to put him on like, cause I think I was doing a list of like people to watch out for. And mm-hmm. so I did. And then the first time I saw him play, I was like, okay, Scotty's not an idiot. This guy, he looks kind
of
good.
Yeah. I saw him practice a couple of times and he was, he's put on some weight. Like he's still not like the biggest kid.
Right.
Like he's still pretty thin, but, he's grown some and he's added a little bit of weight. And, Eric Burnett's giving him the green light to shoot anywhere from inside half court. Like,
yeah,
he's told me that like when
dude, he can pull it, man.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, covered Northside for a year and like 2 days out of college. And then once, Bolin went to the News Bureau, I got off track, but anyway, I left Fort Smith, and when you went to Whole Hog, that's when Chip kind of plucked me from Fort Smith, and been doing that since.
Shout out to Chip Souza, man.
Yeah,
he's a real MVP, man. I love that guy.
Yeah, for sure. Been covering Springdale High and Springdale Harbor for most of the last 15 months. I guess it was late October or late in the football season. We had some cuts with our sports staff, so I had to kind of switch over to Fayetteville for the last few weeks. But yeah, that's basically what I've been doing. I helped Bolin out when he was with the News Bureau when I was working in Fort Smith, writing sidebars on football teams.
Right.
I've helped Kurt, like another way I've kind of followed you is freelancing with Kurt and running quotes and stuff for him. I've done that the last 2 years and
for the AP.
Kind of filled in for him when he had to go when he couldn't make it for Arkansas basketball games. I filled in for a couple games for him last year.
Yeah. I mean, I remember whenever I knew I was going to leave for do the Whole Hog thing, I told Chip, I'm like, man, you got to get Scotty. He's going to be, he's really good.
I appreciate
that. And, whenever I knew, I think you were actually one of the first people I texted because obviously I wasn't going to let a lot of people know about the Walmart deal until it became official. But yeah. I was like, hey man, just like be on the lookout because I think this might happen. And if it does, I want you to.
I was so surprised when you sent me that too.
Like yeah, everybody said that.
I've had a couple of people text me. I guess there were coaches that you previously worked with, like when you were on the high school beat and stuff. They were like, I didn't think Jimmy would like ever get out of sports writing because you're so talented at it.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. Yeah. It's going to be weird. I'm going to miss it. I think my dad took it harder than me and I know he's going to listen to this. So I love you, Dad. He sent me this long letter and it was like,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, and I like teared up and then called him, and I was like, I thought you were. I was like, what in the world would he have sent? What is going to be in this letter? But yeah, it was an emotional deal. That was the most emotional part about the whole thing so far. But anyway, no, dude, you're going to do great. You're going to do a great job. We've rambled on for only 10 minutes. Okay, that wasn't that bad.
Too bad.
Yeah. I assume most people listen to this because, you know, not that they care about our personal lives or anything like that. They're probably more Arkansas basketball fans. So let's talk about the team a little bit. I mean, I know you've obviously, I mean, you spent this last, this last weekend, one of my favorite tournaments ever, like my favorite things, like the Bulldog Classic at Fayetteville.
Loved it.
Great catering, great basketball. Yeah,
they had Bordino's.
Oh, 3 days. I know. Oh, all three?
Yeah.
All okay. Three days. Wow. So it's even gotten better. I mean, man, it's a great,
pasta was so good.
Great event. Probably the best, I mean, in the conversation, you could make the case it's the best gym in the state. Cool practice gym too, but
yeah, for sure they had games.
Two practice gyms actually. Yeah, I guess.
They had games rolling in the auxiliary gym and on the main floor. And there were so many good players there. I think Moses Moody from North Little Rock. And
oh, I love his game.
He was there.
He didn't play all that great, I guess, this weekend, right?
Do what?
He didn't play all that great this weekend, I guess, right?
He was like flirting with double doubles probably every game. Like I saw him when they played Jacksonville. They lost in the semifinals to Jacksonville. I think he had a double-double. I don't know what the deal was. I was expecting Lee Summit and North Little Rock for the finals. That would have been an awesome game.
Yeah.
So Lee Summit had like a 6'11 kid and a 6'7.
He was signed somewhere, right?
Yeah, I think
so. Or committed?
Yeah, that would have been a fun game. But Moses Moody was pretty fun to watch. And then Alana Eaton at Jonesboro.
Yeah.
And, Fayetteville's girls, North Little Rock's girls, Central's girls. Like it was pretty loaded. But yeah, it was a fun tournament.
For sure. I had to go turn the fan on. It's like burning up. It's burning up in my apartment. No, I mean, you were doing that, and I want to talk a little bit more about like some of these high school kids and Isaiah Joe later on, but, yeah. Let's dive into the Razorbacks a little bit because I know you've been watching, and anytime that Darius Hall does anything good,
I love that guy.
You love Darius Hall, man. I guess you know how to pick him. Cause I mean, Isaiah was a good call. And I mean, we're in agreement on this, dude's going to be incredible. Maybe that might have been overstating it a little bit. But he has a chance to be really good. I think he could
–
he is – everybody wants, you know, NBA-wise, 3-and-D wings. And obviously, you know, colleges like that too. And he's somebody that I feel like as he continues to evolve, I mean, he's definitely got the defense part of it.
Oh, no
doubt. He's 6'6", 7-foot wingspan. I think he's somebody that you look at now and with the staff, like their track record of developing people like Michael Qualls. Like, he's more physically gifted than Qualls. Maybe not as explosive a leaper.
He came in and he was almost like a doe. Like it wasn't like
right.
comfortable. Like didn't have his legs under him. He kind of looked, I don't know if uncoordinated is the right word.
Talking about Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like he had a loose dribble, like a loose handle when he first got to Arkansas. And then his junior and senior seasons, it was his junior season. He was phenomenal. He was one of those guys that Arkansas had to have him score to be in,
right.
to be in ball games.
Yeah, he just got signed by the, I think, the Jazz's
G League team
the other day.
Nice for him.
Which is a good deal. Darius Hall is not the best freshman on this team, and that's not like a breaking news statement or anything of that sort.
No, that's not a dig at him either, no.
And no, yeah, no, not that at all. Let's talk about Daniel Gafford a little bit. So I haven't podcasted in, I want to say, since right after I got back from Portland. Obviously, a lot has transpired. They got blown out by Houston. Terrible, terrible game. Pretty much all of their worst attributes. Then they come back and they beat not a great team in Colorado State, but they handled them really well. They were always in control of that game or after the first couple minutes. And then, you know, really good win against a Minnesota team that I don't think is as good as number 14, but still a good team, and they still have all the pieces back basically from the team that whipped Arkansas last year. So, but in that time frame – so it's been about 2 weeks, actually. Daniel Gafford went from not being ranked at all by ESPN, Jonathan Givony and Mike Schmitz, guys from Draft Express, who were, man, they're phenomenal. But I was like, man, I surely he's got to be in like at least like the 70s or 80s. But after Portland, he wasn't on their post-Portland update of the deal. God, Jordan Bell. I love Jordan Bell, man. We're watching. Nice, we got the Warriors game on right now. Jordan Bell, man, the Bulls, what are you doing? Kurt Voigt's Bulls, just terrible.
He's flirting with a triple-double.
He's going to have a trip-dub. That's the thing about the Warriors. They just plug in dudes and just the system. But anyway, getting sidetracked. But Gafford, he went from not even being in the top 100 to – I'm sure you saw it the other day. He's number 39 now in their latest, I guess, big board, if you will. So, huge leap. He's like the 13th ranked big in that.
He just like skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah. And so, he's still got a ways. Bleacher Report put out something today, and he's number 29. Wow. So, for those of you that don't follow the NBA, number 29 is the second-to-last first-round pick. Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah. I don't know where he was before, but he's been incredible. I just wonder, like, what you thought or what you've observed from him. I mean, obviously, he can
– he's so impressive, and I was wondering when Mike was going to put him in the lineup.
Yeah. It had to – I was like, man, he's got to put him in there because I love Trey.
Because you want to see if him starting the game helps them get off to a good start defensively. And if he can somehow – I don't want to say somehow, but if he can stay out of foul trouble, that gives them a lift because then you can – he stays out of foul trouble. I mean, he's so good at blocking shots and all that. He can – I guess Mike can kind of steal some minutes and rest guys like Trey or Adrio or –
right,
somebody, for a few extra minutes. But yeah, he's been so impressive. And I think you kind of wrote about it in your last column. His inside game, like those moves that he made against Minnesota were filthy. He catches the ball off like a pick and roll with Daryl, and kind of faces up with his defender, takes one dribble to his right, and then gets by the guy and throws down like monster dunk. And I think you wrote about it too. Like I don't think there's anybody else on this team that can get Bud Walton as hype as Daniel can. And I think people have been wanting like that superstar,
right?
That superstar big two. And Moses was pretty good. He wasn't. I mean, he wasn't
especially as a junior. As a junior,
yeah, for sure. Another thing that I like is that spin move. He can spin, and that drop step takes up 8 or 10 feet.
He went from 18 feet literally out to not even 18. He was like 20 feet out. He ripped through one dribble, spin, and he's just at the rim.
He's at the rim. It's freakish.
And honestly, I feel like in a year, he's dunking that. Like, he laid it in, and there's even plays, like, I know after the UConn game, he had, like, that breakaway dunk that was just massive. Like, I think Macon fed it to him on the break, yeah. And he's like, man, I should have windmilled that. He's like, I should have just windmilled it. Like, I don't even think he knows, like, how – I mean, he's just scratching the surface of what he could be.
Right. And there was another play in that Minnesota game that was just kind of, like, eye-popping. He's near the rim – and he kind of does the Michael Jordan Space Jam, like kind of palms it and sticks it up in the air and then kind of comes back down and then goes back over.
Right.
And that, I mean, you can't defend that. There's no, I mean, I don't think anybody, and nobody, I don't think anybody in the league can.
I was saying this the other day, like, okay, so he did that. And it just anytime he does anything like that or.
The hang time was impressive.
The hang time, but then also the His length. So I think he went to the Nike, like maybe it was the Durant camp or something over the summer, and he had like a 7'2 wingspan. I feel like it's long. I feel like it's like 7'3 or 4 now. I feel like he's gonna go to the NBA combine. Like he's gonna go to the draft combine. He'd be an idiot not to.
Right.
In May, and I kind of think like, man, he's probably he's probably like a, got a 7'3", 7'4" wingspan, because he's like the Space Jam, just stretches his arms out. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my goodness, this guy. He had like a finish early in the year. He looked like Dr. J, like, maybe, you know, not quite as athletic as Dr. J, but he like just went under, up and under like the baseline, just stretched his arms out. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy. But he's grown so much from where he was in October to now. It's ridiculous.
And like early in the season, we've saw like Darius throw down that monster dunk, and like I think it was like
you were hype about that.
I loved it, and I sent you a text, and I was just like, this team is trying to dunk everything.
Yeah,
and I love that. That was about this team.
No, did you coin the dunk everything thing?
Dunk everything.
Yeah,
and I've quoted like the Arkansas men's basketball Twitter with that. They haven't caught on yet. Maybe they will, but they've sent.
Come on, Dave Beal.
But this team literally likes to dunk everything, and I think Daniel got fans like super excited early in those limited minutes because of foul trouble, because he would catch the ball around the restricted area, and then what?
Put your mic close to your face.
I've got it like,
come on, man. No, you're good.
He would like catch the ball anywhere like around the restricted area, and he would make a move, and then he would do everything in his power to dunk it.
Right.
And Arkansas hasn't had that in a long, I don't feel like in a long day, that tries to dunk as often
right
as like in your face as possible.
Kurt asked Mike today if he thought that he had, I mean, obviously Mike has been there for pretty much all of the good Arkansas basketball for the last like what, 30 years almost? Like, yeah, almost, yeah, 30 years.
Pushing 30.
And Kurt was like, man, does he have a chance to be, obviously, you know, Corliss, guys like that. Like, does he have a chance to be, like, in that conversation? And Mike's like, well, yeah, his athleticism is definitely, he's going to have a chance to be the most athletic guy. I think he is already. I mean, honestly, like, I don't know, man. When May rolls around, if he's a top 30 guy, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to throw you into the fire. Your first podcast.
Great.
Yeah. You got a trial by fire. If he's what, 29 by Bleacher Report now, he's 39 by ESPN. I think we both think that will probably continue to rise. Maybe not as, yeah, it's not going to be, you know, he's not going
to, I don't think
he's not going to be a lottery pick. Yeah. Yeah. He could be late first round though, I think.
And that's guaranteed money, right?
Yeah. You gotta go.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Sorry. So. Hey, you know what? I'm on my way out. Arkansas fans can be mad at me. Like, I don't care.
Send all complaints to NWA Jimmy.
Yeah. I can't change my Twitter handle. Somebody told me the other day, great tip. I forget who it was, or I'd shout him out, that Twitter only unverifies you if you change your username.
Oh, you can't do that.
So I'm going to be NWA Jimmy for a long time. Because Jeff Long got unverified, but he changed his user. That was why.
Right, yeah. He's not Jeff Long UA. He's like, what is it, R&R?
Yeah, rest and relaxation, Jeff Long. Yeah. Oh, man, shout out to Jeff.
But yeah, it's like Gafford's late first round, like 20s, like early 20s, mid-20s. That's guaranteed money, dude. That's life-changing money for anybody. Yeah,
it's a lot more than I'm gonna be making at this Walmart job. Dude, that was the best. Everybody was like, I think I had to include corporate in there because I didn't want people to think that I was like pushing carts in from the, like, oh boy, he must have sucked. Yeah. And so they just like, we're like, hey, get out of here. And all I could find was
a new Walmart greeter.
Yeah me and a bunch of senior citizens just wishing you a good day. I think there's a chance he gets to, I mean, I think there's a good chance that he gets to. What'll be interesting is how he deals with the added attention, because teams are going to start doubling him.
Yeah.
And OU did it pretty much every touch, and he handled it really well. I don't know that OU's like a great defensive team, though. And I don't think we've really talked about this, like, you and I, but dude, the SEC is rough. Like, it's gonna be tough. Like, this.
Yeah. Fun for us.
Right. Rough. Maybe for not Mike. Fun for Mike. Yeah. No, that's the thing. Like, this could be his most talented. I think this is a more talented team than the one that Bobby was on, that he won
that 27 win team.
Player of the year. Yeah. Bobby is the best player on either of those teams, I think.
Yeah.
Because even though Gafford's gonna be a better pro, I feel like. Because his ceiling's high, the skills will catch up. The athleticism is like way beyond what Bobby has, and that's not a knock on Bobby. But Bobby was somebody in college you could just throw it to and he'd get a bucket.
Yeah.
And I think Gaffer's going to come back down to earth a little bit from a post-up perspective. I mean, he's like 12 of 19 this year on post-ups. That's really
good. Yeah, Tyler Davis isn't.
Tyler Davis
ain't going to want to let that happen.
Right. Tyler Davis is the only guy in front of him in the SEC. And if he doesn't, I'll put it this way, if he doesn't slow down, then he's going to maybe get in that lottery conversation.
Yes, for sure.
But I actually think this is his best team, maybe. And that's not like a hot take.
Like since he's come to Arkansas?
Yeah.
I think.
But it's fair. Also when the SEC is just at its absolute peak in maybe the last decade or so. Maybe not decade, but.
Dude, it's as good as, I know I'm 24 and might get made fun of for saying this, but it's as good as I can remember it. You know what I mean? Like
whippersnapper?
Yeah, come on, man. I know. But A&M wasn't good. Wasn't real great like several years ago, I don't think.
I mean, it was Arkansas and Kentucky, right? Those were the two. Well, was Florida good? I don't even remember.
Yeah, they had that Scotty Wilbekin team.
I want to say he's balling out for some random Euro team right now.
Probably is.
And he's nice good. Game. Yeah.
Yeah, gosh, who else was? Missouri was like the doormat. Tennessee was kind of like your average team, I feel like.
Was Quanzo at Tennessee?
Tennessee's ranked now.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
They're top 20. Yeah, I think they're 24.
So, right yeah, I feel like there's maybe not like a, like, you know, Kentucky and Florida had a couple years where, you know, Billy was still at Florida and obviously doing really well. And you know, Cal, since he got to Kentucky.
Yeah.
But those were like always like national title contenders that you thought like were going to have a chance to make a Final Four run. I don't know that anybody in the SEC is necessarily like a lock for that this year. I would have said Florida.
I was so in on Florida after the peak at 80, even though they lost to Duke, right?
Right. They should have won that game, but yeah.
And then they just haven't looked good like the last 2 weeks. I don't know what the deal is.
You know, he didn't start Kayvon or Jalen Hudson the other day. And those are like arguably their two best players.
Yeah. I mean, Kayvon's steady.
Yeah, well, he hasn't played good this year, so maybe somebody sent me a link to it, and I didn't read the story. Dang, yeah, great. That's a responsible journal. That's great.
I feel like Kevon has been steady though, like for most of his Florida career, anyway.
Well, let me see if I can really make Arkansas fans mad. You would have much rather had 4 years of Kevon than 1 year of Malik.
Yeah,
I mean, the 1 year of Malik would have been spectacular, but.
I feel like Kevon was so talented coming out of high school.
You know,
he was such a scorer. Like, he was going to give you immediate impact, like, as a freshman.
Yeah.
And then by his sophomore, toward the end of his sophomore year, his junior year, you and Bob had him, like, all SEC.
Yeah, he hadn't lived up to it so far. But actually, you know, Barford, I've told this story on this podcast before. Daryl and I had, like, a little back and forth. I brought it up because I was like, hey, he's definitely read it, so he knows that I didn't vote for him. But I was like, man, I almost put you on there. And I do think I would probably take Daryl over Jalen. You can't go wrong with either one. But Jalen's playing like an all-SEC player so far.
Yeah, I'd probably go with Daryl too.
Just he's so efficient. And Jalen has moments where he's a good passer. Daryl has really good vision, though, and he's gotten a lot better at being able to.
I went back and watched the Minnesota game late last night because I had nothing better to do.
Yeah.
I'm kind of starting to prep myself for this new job.
Yeah.
And I know you stay up till like 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's going to be the biggest change, man. I got to like wake up at six now. It's going to be rough.
But I went back and watched it, and Daryl, Arkansas shot 9 out of 13 on shots set up by Daryl last Saturday.
Did you get that from Hoop Lens?
No, I got it from Scotty Bordelon.
Oh, look at you.
Film review.
Uh-oh.
And he spread it out like only he finished with 8 assists. And
he should have had more, but I guess 9 of 13 is still pretty good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And they hit like their first, I think they hit, and I tracked it by like between like media timeouts just to see how the flow was going. And obviously he got a shot going in the second half and I guess started looking for others a little bit less.
Right.
Which
is cool.
Yeah. I'm sure Mike kind of wanted him to get into a groove. But there were a couple of times where he wasn't credited with an assist, but he, I mean, it was the pass to the assist, where like off Minnesota makes, he's hockey catching assist. The inbounds pass, looking ahead, and he's hitting Jalen at half court.
Right.
And then Jalen catches the ball, and 5 seconds into the shot clock, C.J. Jones has an open three in the left corner.
Yeah.
And they're scoring on good looks 5 seconds into the shot clock off a miss or off a make.
That's that's the thing. Unreal. That I was talking to somebody on the staff about that. I ought to just go ahead and out him now. I don't care. I ought to just start like cussing on this podcast. No, I'm kidding. But talking about the Minnesota game and you know, he was talking about how bad their offense was. I'm like, yeah, but part of that was just one, your defense didn't get stopped, so you couldn't run off of them, and then you were like walking the ball up the court. Like when they play with pace and they actually get like, that's so underrated. I wrote this a couple weeks ago, but like I was listening to a guy who used to be like a G League assistant, and I mean, he knows a lot more about basketball than I do, and he was like, he did a special project where he tracked how what team's offensive efficiency, so like points per possession, was based on the how much time was left on the shot clock whenever they crossed half court.
Okay.
So he said once it was – they wanted their guys to get it across half court at like 20 seconds. So shot clock's 24 seconds in the NBA and the G League. Yeah. And their offense when they did that was like incredibly efficient. And if it got down to like 17 or 16, it would dip by like a half point of possession, which is massive. I mean,
opponents are going to get tired of having to get back in 4 seconds.
Right.
Really fast.
It's Mike D'Antoni, man. Yeah. 7 seconds or less.
That was those Suns teams.
Oh, yeah.
A little more about me. I was a huge Steve Nash fan.
Yeah.
And I became like an NBA fan during that 7 seconds. Because of the Suns.
That was my go-to. Amari
Stoudemire, Joe Johnson.
NBA Live team back in the day.
Sean Marion.
Sean Marion in his weird form, but you could make buckets with him. That was back when Live was still a – I guess it's still a thing, but nobody plays Live.
Everybody plays 2K.
Yeah. I took L's last night in 2K to my little brother. I tried to play with the Thunder again, and we were as bad in 2K as we were as we are in real life. So Daryl, it's kind of been weird. I think so. We both like you. I guess sort of agree with me that you'd rather have Daryl. Not to denigrate Jalen, but
If I take Daryl, you're going to take Jalen. You're going to feel bad about it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think defenses feel the same way. They do it. They've done it some to Jalen and. And Anton, but especially Daryl, anytime Arkansas runs a ball screen, they're just trying to hedge really hard, show, and basically that means like the big is just moving horizontally with him and trying to it's essentially like a brief double team and get the ball out of his hands. And he, the first couple games, and I asked him about this maybe a week ago, and he was like, man, it's been hard for me to adjust. And you could tell it had, because he was not handling it very well. A lot of times he just back out toward half court and he'd reset and it's, you know, the defense loves that. They're like, all right, you didn't do anything, our defense is set now, there's probably 10 seconds on the shot clock, go ISO against us, and even though you're really good, we'll take our chances,
right?
And that was the thing, like you said, 13 shots assisted by him. A lot of those were off ball screens where he made little pocket passes.
He hit guys in the short corner a lot. They got him some pretty good looks.
Right. And yeah, even he had advanced playmate, like his reading was even advanced, because there were times that there's one time he hit Dustin on a, I think he ran a pick and roll with Daniel, and Daniel dives to the rim, and the guy guarding Dustin that's his responsibility to sink down and bump Gafford. Otherwise it's an alley-oop or an easy pass.
Yeah.
But obviously that frees up Dustin momentarily and on the baseline, and that was a pass that Daryl never made really until the Minnesota game, and he made it like without hesitation and just threw a perfect on, you know, hit him in his shooting pocket, and Dustin made the shot. And his playmaking has been really good. Somebody was talking to him the other day about how he played so bad and they won, and he didn't, obviously
it's
he didn't
Minnesota?
Shoot, he didn't shoot well.
Yeah,
but he played a great floor game, I think.
Right. I thought so too. Like, and I know it was late in the second half and the game was already decided, but he was late in the shot clock. I think he comes off a pick and roll, and he's driving baseline, and it just his vision is so impressive to me. And it kind of goes back to that inbounds pass where he's got his head up and he's looking for Jalen, and he hits CJ for an open three, but he drives the baseline and kind of throws a no look underhand pass to Daniel for his last dunk.
For the dunk.
That set the place off. That was like the cherry on top of that. Right. Kind of thing.
I was looking down at my computer, like trying to like look at some stupid stat, and then I was like, okay. But I obviously had to catch it on the replay.
He likes to take his aggression out on rims, and I love it.
Did you watch him at El Dorado? Like, did you go to any of whenever you're down
I never saw
in Hot
him.
Springs or his, whatever you're?
I think I was like on vacation in Las Vegas his senior year.
Okay,
like that would have been last year, but I guess as a junior they played in that Coke Classic down in Fort Smith.
Oh yeah,
I think I was.
That's
Las
a really
Vegas
good tournament too.
I hate that I missed that, but like
dude, Scotty like just blowing all like of his all of his money on blackjack in Vegas.
Yeah, no kidding. And I go through it fast. Like I don't know how to get up and walk away. But
yeah, I mean, I think like we both know that both of us suffer from that.
I may do it again this weekend.
Yeah, no, can't fault you.
Yeah, he was like a walking double double in high school, and then I think he had like 10 triple doubles in high
blocks.
School with blocks. Yeah, yeah, he had 6 the other day, and he had a couple of those sequences where he blocked 2 shots in a possession. And that was just like otherworldly.
You hit it on the head because like nothing gets Bud Walton going like anytime he has a big block or a big dunk. The only thing that really even gets close is I tweeted this the other day. Jonathan Holmes like checking in late.
Yes.
And dude, he's a player, man.
Yeah.
Like if you, I'm gonna do the thing I always said for this kid I covered at Springdale. If he was 4 inches taller, he'd be great. But he's gotten to play a lot. I think he's played in, 4 games. But
the schedule they played. Arkansas's beating the crap out of everybody when they win games.
Right.
And so he's getting a little run.
Yeah. Anything, any hot takes? Any Scotty Bordelon hot takes? CJ Jones going pro. Were you on the CJ bandwagon?
I don't know that I was, but I tweeted the other day trying to hop on
that
Richard Pitino went zone. For like 4 or 5 possessions.
And CJ's like, thanks, bro.
Yeah, I was like,
I'll take these open corner threes.
I was like, Richard Pitino, quote, I think I'm going to go zone now. And I said, CJ, quote,
bet.
All right, bet. And then he lit them up for like 2 threes and a couple of possessions. And it was.
Here's the thing. Like, he's shooting like 53% the last 5 games from 3, 18 of 34. That's not going to be. People get mad at me sometimes when I say this, but that's not sustainable. Just like early in the year when Jalen was shooting like 58% on like contested long twos. And I'm like, man, that's terrible shots. But he's making them, but it's not going to continue. Yeah. Actually, if I was still in this job, I was waiting. The Houston game is great. I shouldn't say that, I guess. But in the Houston game, he missed like every single long two that he took. And I'd been waiting until he started missing them. And I was going to write about that. But then they played so good against Minnesota. I was like, you know what? It's my last one. I'm going to be soft and not be negative about hardly anything. But I mean, CJ's not going to shoot 53% from 3, but I think he can shoot 40. Yeah. And the offense is so much better when he's out there. Oh, here's something for you. What is the ideal if you're Mike Anderson? What is the ideal Scotty Bordelon starting 5?
Oh, the starting 5.
I have my I've got my answer, but
I would probably. I mean, I want Daryl out there. And I want Daniel. I can't decide if I want Adrio or Dustin Thomas, and I may go with Dustin right now.
Yeah.
So I got Daryl, Daniel, Dustin.
Bro, Jalen is so upset at you right now.
Yeah, I was going to get – I'm getting to Jalen. And I don't know, like – and since you brought that up, maybe you were kind of leading me towards – swapping CJ for Anton.
I mean, that's what I'm gonna do. You're a free man. You're the one in this analyst role now. So
yeah, I like that lineup. I like that lineup because it still gives you a senior guard coming off the bench to lead some of those younger guys.
That's my thing. Like Anton and Trey have really good chemistry. Now Trey has good chemistry with pretty much everybody because they're like, hey, I can get an easy 2 points. But I feel like CJ long term, and it may not happen, you know, until March or late February.
Those three guards are playing so many minutes.
36, 34. I don't have, actually, I do have it in front of me.
And it made me think about the other day when you asked Mike about this team playing at like a faster pace than some of his past teams have.
Right.
And those guards are playing more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, they had
a faster pace.
Oh, they had 75 possessions against Minnesota, which is actually, yeah, it's about on track where they are. But 75 possessions is like top 10 in the country pace-wise. I mean, I predicted before the year, I was like, man, they hadn't ranked in the top. Once they moved the shot clock down from 35 to 30, they had not placed in the top 50 in pace nationally. And I was like, man, I feel like that's going to change this year because it's more athletic. They're going to be able to actually get stops or force turnovers and they'll run. And yeah, they're playing at a huge pace. And Barford, Jalen played 35 the other day. Daryl played 30 and Anton played 31. And against, you know, in any game where the outcome has been in doubt or it's been a quality opponent, pretty much, they've played those kind of minutes. I think that's, I mean, it's not the NBA. It's not an 82 game schedule.
Yeah.
And you're not going to play, you know, back-to-backs unless you're in the SEC tournament, but still at the same time, there is progressive fatigue is a real thing.
Sure.
And that's why I think getting CJ to a point where, and people always, and I'm not knocking this statement, but people always say, you know, it doesn't matter who starts, it matters who finishes. Well, it also does matter who starts because inevitably in college basketball, the first media timeout is what, under 16?
Mm-hmm.
You're at least probably, unless somebody picks up two quick fouls, you're going to play that lineup for the first 4 minutes of the game. Probably the first five. Mike tends to sub out around under 15 mark.
Yeah, I noticed he took Daryl out when I was tracking his stuff. I tracked when he like subbed out and subbed in, too.
All right, Scotty. Don't make me look so bad, man. Come on.
He subbed out in both halves just a little bit under the 14-minute mark. So he lets him ride that first media timeout and then about half of the next
one.
And then he'll start subbing some guys. And I think CJ was the guy that came and got Daryl.
So essentially, if you're starting, you're playing more than a quarter of the game with that lineup. Like, that's by far Arkansas's most – I mean, you're ready for this job, man. You already got the Hoops Lens subscription. I saw you pull – you got Ken Palm pulled up now.
Yeah, I got it going. I just don't have your Synergy.
Yeah, that it's pretty cool. You can't get video on Synergy, though. That kind of
– I like messing with this lineup selection tool and seeing what's working and and who's hot and
who's not,
all that. But yeah,
RIP Trey Thompson. The plus minus king is kind of struggling a little bit. He's not horrible, but when you got Gafford, that's like I think he's like fourth in the SEC in net rating, something like that. I mean, man, Mike got asked today if he was going to keep starting Gafford, and he's like, yeah, he's earned it. He's at that point. He's ready for it. He's like, you know, he's got to keep earning it in practice every day, but he did about as
well as he could the other night. His first start.
Yeah.
National TV against
solid opponent. It was a good team.
14th-ranked team, and he's playing against a couple bigs. And I was texting you the other day when told me that Gafford was, like, in the top 40 in that draft board. And I said, and I know Minnesota's bigs were in foul trouble quite a bit
because
the other day.
Also he got them in foul trouble.
And he was part of that. He's part of the reason. And I mean, one of those guys got 13 double doubles. I got a double double in every game. Those are two SEC quality bigs. You know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah,
like really good. Like,
well, almost honestly, like the Big Ten's probably been better than the SEC in the last couple
that's
years.
That's fair. Yeah, you know what I mean. Like those two bigs are really good. And I think he said after the game that win put Arkansas, like, woke some people up. I think it woke those draft board guys up too, because he more than held his own against those guys. Like, he didn't miss a shot, and
for sure,
you know, he's dominating defensive possessions at times. So he's a monster.
I would go CJ in the starting lineup too. I think it's
like having a senior guard off the bench.
I kind of, yeah.
With the young
having a senior guard and Mike does stagger people. Like, he always wants one of those seniors out there, which is, I mean, yeah, you have to. And the thing, I kind of get why he, like you mentioned, like them playing so many minutes. They do need to cut the minutes down. Like, Darius Hall has to be able to play more than, like, against good teams, it seems like he's been in that 5 to 8 minute range, unless they're just blowing people out.
I've always wondered what that lineup would look like if Khalil was able to play.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he got today, I guess, breaking news. Mike said that they're going to redshirt him. I know he got tested yesterday, and he made a little bit of progress in the test, but not enough to where they're in a position.
He tweeted he'll be back next year, so that's
Khalil
he tweeted
said
it. He tweeted it, so of course. It's not, like, official in the press release.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm waiting for the Players Tribune article about it.
Yeah, I've wondered about that because I think that would allow Mike to have a young, talented guard. I mean, I think Khalil's like 6'4", 6'5". Yeah, and he's long.
Yeah.
Really long. Like he's probably, I'd say he's probably longer than Daryl. But yeah, you put a young guard with an older guard like Anton maybe, and that would open up a spot for CJ in a starting lineup.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Man, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him because if he can't get it cleared up, they're going to have a decision to make. He's going to have a decision to make. Like, I mean, obviously a medical hardship is in consideration if he gets to a point where he can't come back. But they're going to need scholarships. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, Mike is not an idiot. His staff, they're not idiots. They can see that Gafford is really good. Mm-hmm. So I know they know that they have to keep recruiting because if you lose him, then all of a sudden, man, who's playing center? I would go to get back to the thing. I would go CJ. I don't really know who I'd go between Adrio or Dustin. I really, really, really like Adrio. I kind of was a little bit, and I asked Mike about this last week, a little bit surprised that his minutes got cut so significantly because they're really good with him on the court, and he was like fourth in the SEC in blocks and shooting 70%, and you know none of those are really. I mean, he took some mid-range jumpers, but a lot of those are, I know, 2 feet away from the basket, but still he can finish better than either Dustin or Orlando.
Well, just looking at hoop lens right here, like...
Yeah, pull it up, Scotty. Google the...
Arkansas's averaging 123 points per 100 possessions with Adriel on the floor.
I think UCLA was first in the country last year at like 121, so...
And the defense is at 103. And then
it's about average.
Dustin... And the offensive numbers go down to like 108, which is pretty. It's
good. It's a little bit above average. It's still good.
Yeah, I think that's kind of
the only thing I'll say for Dustin is that they've played harder teams. He came back right at the start of the Portland tournament, so he didn't get those first three blowout games
a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I think both of those guys give you something different.
Right. If Dustin can keep shooting,
maybe
like
a game by game thing.
Yeah.
Could be.
That was what I always thought. Like, I thought, man, maybe Darius will move into the starting lineup at some point because, especially, you know, Missouri has had Michael Porter, and I was like, who is going to guard him?
Right.
I don't think you want to put a 6'3 guy on him. And it's not like you could put Dustin on him and put one of the guards on Missouri's four because they've got a lot of size. So,
yeah.
I thought maybe Darius becomes a valuable guy to put in, maybe spot start and sort of matchups like that. But it'll be interesting. I guess the thing that's good is he has a lot of options, and they're not bad options. No offense to him, but there are no, you know, Lorenzo Jenkins made his return to Bud Walton the other day. There do not appear to be any Lorenzo Jenkins on this roster. Even like Gabe Osaboyan.
Yeah.
He's got I always assume people get annoyed with how much I write and reference wingspans for everybody, but that's important.
Jay Billis over here.
Yeah. I got to go to work. Tweet my Young Jeezy lyrics to start every day. But he's got like a 7-1 wingspan. I think he's got the potential. Like, you look at like what he could develop into, he's got a much higher ceiling like Bracken Hazen. There's not anybody on this roster that you can point to and just be like, yeah, that's the clear, like, you're going to have to transfer in 2 years because you're not good.
Yeah, and I definitely know what you mean because those Arkansas teams, when I was in school, they had guys like...
Oh, I love the little point guard, D. Wagner, love point guards, but dang, you can't do it, man.
Yeah, guys like D. Wagner, and I don't want this to sound bad, but like maybe like a guy like Ricky Scott. Defensive guy. Like, he was an athlete.
But here's the thing. You couldn't... I mean, he was like a 4-star. He was like a top 60 recruit.
Yeah.
But I get what you said. Like, he clearly underachieved what his ranking was.
Love Kiko when he played here.
Ah, okay.
When he
go
played
ahead.
Here.
Yeah.
And he was... I mean, he was pretty valuable. Like, he would... He would kind of sack up and take charges on guys whenever. But at the same time, you kind of want... At the same time, you would also kind of want a
better player,
a Darius Hall,
yeah,
or any like another athlete that's like not 5'10", maybe.
Yeah, I'm not. I gotta think of how to phrase this.
Yeah,
I really don't like Kiko.
Mean any disrespect
no,
to Kiko
no, I don't. He's a
people.
From everything I know, he's a really good guy. I think he did a broadcast the other day, and I did a pretty yeah. did a really good job. He and Manny Watkins both did a good job. I always thought he was a little bit overrated by Arkansas fans because he was the short, scrappy, walk-on turn
fan favorite
player, and
easily.
He got a lot of minutes. But if those were my thing that I always said then was like, if Arkansas was like really a good team, Kiko Hyder's not in the rotation.
Agreed.
And that's not a knock on him because he got the most out of his ability that he could. I think he went overseas and really played well for a couple years, and he's back here. He's got a bright future. But, I mean, that was kind of an indictment on the roster that I think, you know, Mike inherited. And just the first couple years, he didn't really have the talent needed to win at a high level. But there's not a lot of – to kind of round back to where I was trying to go with it. Right. There's not a lot of weak points on this roster, and there's going to be a lot of turnover next year. But we're at 50 minutes right now.
Yeah, there's like nobody that when they're on the floor, they catch the ball, you're just like, oh, get rid of it.
Well, Darius a little bit.
A little.
Okay, that I'm surprised you didn't text me about this. I don't know. You were probably covering the Bulldog Classic. He had that – he's like sizing the dude up, had the AI – like he's like crossed him over – and you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Against Minnesota?
Yeah.
He crossed him over a couple times, finally took it, and threw up this, like, up to the rafters floater.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's terrible. What is he doing?
That thing almost hit the shot clock.
And then he banked it in somehow. I was like, what angle could he have?
The ball came down wet.
And he made it, and I was like, oh, wow, he's, like, going all Rucker Park in here trying to and one mixtape dudes. But I mean, he's somebody that obviously he's got a way.
I feel like he's done a pretty good job like picking his spots. Like he knows
he
like,
has no
he's
left
not,
hand, but still,
yeah, he knows he's not like on the floor to be the top option.
I think
offensively.
I don't know if he is anymore, but at one point he was fourth on the team in turnovers and like ninth in minutes played.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, you never even touched. You're like a role play, but yeah, no
energy guy.
Yeah, he's gonna be good. I'm not trying to knock the dude or anything.
Yeah,
but
I like his game. You were asking me for a hot take earlier. I don't know if it's hot or not.
Oh, but, no. Darius Hall, first-round draft pick 2019.
When I was in school covering Arkansas for the Traveler, I think Anton was a freshman.
Yeah.
And I loved freshman Anton. He was like a guy who would like get into the paint, and he would like tie up bigs underneath the rim. And he kind of had one of those moments the other day where – the Murphy kid and the Lynch kid took it from him, from both of them. And they've got 8 inches on him and at least 50 pounds. And he just walks in there, rips the ball from him.
Yeah.
And it was like, it gave me flashbacks to like his freshman season.
You're just, oh, I love you. Hold on. Let me pause it and
love
let me not
game.
Track Darryl's every move for a second. And, real quick, Isaiah Joe, does he start? Like, did maybe not start, but he's got to be a rotation guy next year, right? I mean, you've seen him up close and personal.
I think so.
Think about lineups with, I mean, they're going to have so much guard turnover. I mean,
yeah, that's true. You're losing those three.
You lose the three seniors. Here's my, like, Jalen Harris better be the real, he better be good. Keyshawn Embry's going to play a ton of minutes, I think, because he can actually create a shot. But Isaiah's going to, he's going to play point guard this year for Northside, I think, right?
Yeah, he's doing a pretty good job of it. I saw him, I went down to Fort Smith and covered. Fayetteville at Northside, and the thing that I've been most impressed.
Who won?
Northside did.
Okay,
like a point. That was before Fayetteville got their football guys back too. So, watch out for Fayetteville, maybe.
Oh, Homer,
get out
of here.
Kyle's putting something together.
I love Kyle Adams.
One of the things I was maybe a little concerned about with Isaiah when he was like a sophomore is he's pretty thin, and I was worried about that kind of. Beating him up on defense, but his defense has gotten noticeably better. Like several
times,
several times in the state tournament last year, he's up contesting shots at the rim. And as a sophomore, he'd never like a year later, he'd have never or a year before, he'd have never done that. His shot silky smooth. Like teams are paying a lot of attention to him, and so he's bound to take a couple of bad shots here and there, but.
He shot like 53% in the EYBL this summer from three.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. That's
Eric Burnett was not kidding when he said, well, maybe a little bit hyperbolic, but inside half court, you can see the rim.
Pull it.
Within reason.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I mean, I always compared, I think I've told you this, but I always compared, you know, they had Tevin Brewer last year. I was like, man, that match was like Tevin Brewer was Russell Westbrook and Isaiah Joe was Kevin Durant. And Tevin Brewer was incredible. I love watching Tevin Brewer play, just like I love Russell Westbrook watching him play. But you're like, okay, this guy dominates the game. Kevin Durant's better than Russell Westbrook, unequivocally. Sure. Isaiah Joe is a better player than Tevin Brewer. And now that he didn't go to Golden State. Isaiah Joe didn't go to Golden State, but he's going to have a chance to sort of show that, I think, more this year. And I think he's, I mean, geez, think about it. You put him out there with CJ and lineups. Like, man, that's a lot of
shooting.
Who are
you going to help off of?
You can't. Jalen Harris, he's going to throw alley-oops to Daniel Gafford or whoever. The JUCO big Arkansas signs in the spring once Daniel Gafford goes pro.
Daniel doesn't go in the lottery.
Yeah. We'll see. You got anything else, man?
No, I think that's it. I'm really excited about starting this new job, and I know I've got some really big shoes to fill. And
nah, man.
I don't know if I'll be writing 4,700-word columns like Jimmy does.
I got some backlash about that. I didn't realize. I never put anything in a word count. And then,
like, you want to be thorough, but you also want to keep people's attention span.
Oh, don't scold me, Scotty.
No.
Oh, thanks, bro.
No, you know what I mean.
Just kick me as I'm on my way out.
People kind of like.
No, I know. Yeah, you're for sure. You got a good point.
Yeah, I think somebody told you they read like the half of, or they kind of like skimmed it, but
yeah,
I mean,
I wrote like 18.
Jimmy writes like the, I've told him this multiple times, like the best, most thorough basketball analysis Arkansas has probably ever gotten, and it's been fun to read. And I mean, I make it a point, like, whenever you put that out, to stop what I'm doing and read it.
Fall asleep after the first two. Really good. Two sections.
Oh, get out of here.
No, I appreciate it, man. And man, Scotty's gonna kill it. All you people who maybe don't know who he is right now or haven't been exposed to his work, the man just told you he sat here and at 2 a.m. in the morning tracked Daryl Macon's every single move.
I'd have gotten to bed a little earlier if they hadn't called so many fouls in the second half.
Oh, man. You're going to be one of those people on Twitter that always talks about the fouls. It is terribly officiated. College is terribly officiated. Yeah, but
it was pretty rough.
Somebody asked me the other day why I never write about the fouls. I'm like, because, like, it's not like an Arkansas game is called any different. Like, they're going to call way too many bad fouls everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, you got anything? You're good? You're good to go?
Yeah, I'm good. Yes, my first day.
Tuesday, right?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
And Arkansas plays Oral Roberts, so I'm just going to jump right in, I guess.
It'd be an easy
day. And then early signing day is the next day, so.
Oh, yeah. Great time to start. Man, I picked the right time to get out of it. Got to put in the left lane and put the hammer down on my new job. Man, that thing's been overused. Was that you that tweeted that it's been overused?
Oh, no.
Okay. No.
I haven't tweeted a thing about the coaching search, the AD search.
I didn't say anything about it, really.
Hashtags, anything like that. But
I will say this. They're very active on Twitter. And I say that in a complimenting way. Yeah. Like, they're doing a really good job on that.
They know the kids are going after, like, all over Twitter.
Oh, yeah. This guy tweeted a cool GIF.
They want their followers up.
Oh, for sure. Did you see the thing the other day, like, get me to 4,000? Like, everybody was trying to get to 4,000.
Yeah. I saw somebody commented underneath it. I was like, I guess this is kind of the thing now.
Yeah.
Recruits, like, get me to this many followers and I'll come to your school.
Yeah, that's not bad. You go into a job interview, I almost want to be like, hey, Walmart, if I get 100 retweets, will you hire me, please? But no.
Yeah, it's like during finals week, during college, and we've been out of college for a while now, but I see every now and then, like, I'll see the tweets about my teacher agreed that if we get this many retweets, we don't have to take the final.
Right.
You are never getting a retweet from me.
No, you got to go through that. I went through that. You got to go through that,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely.
No sympathy here.
Nope.
But, well, you guys are going to have to start following. You got to get Scotty to, I don't know how many followers you got on Twitter now, but it's about to be a lot more. You're going to do a great job. And we're about at an hour. I've got to wrap it up. I got to sort of start adjusting to having to wake up early. And
yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. But that's probably like my biggest, like, I don't
biggest
know if I'm
worried.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. But man, I've appreciated all you guys that have listened and everybody who reached out. I honestly didn't expect kind of the outpouring of or the response that I got the other day whenever I tweeted that I was making the move, and I really appreciate it. I tried to answer all the emails and tweets and texts and everything, and it really meant a lot to me. I know I said it really meant things that means a lot to about a million of you, but it really did all mean a lot. Man, I love doing this job, and I've had a great time interacting with a lot of you guys. And, you know, if I don't cost Scotty too much money at the blackjack table here in the foreseeable future, maybe he'll have me on every now and then.
Oh, no doubt.
But he's going to do a great job. I've had a great time really getting to know a lot of you guys, and I appreciate you listening and reading, and keep subscribing, because Whole Hog is still going to be putting out a great product. But yeah, and don't unfollow me on Twitter, because I want to still be verified. So, anyway, man, thanks guys for listening, and I'm sure Scotty will have something for you next week after ORU or whenever he does decide to.
Yeah. I don't know when we may go ahead and run through a week. Of games.
Gotta let it play out a little bit.
Put the column out, but I'm still kind of, I love that eight things I like and don't like column idea.
Oh, it's copyright. It dies with me. You can't do it. No, I'm kidding.
I'll just change the number of things I like and don't like.
45 things I like and don't like.
Maybe then I'll get it to 4,700
words. Oh, man. Well, I appreciate it, guys. For Scotty Borderline, I'm Jimmy Carter, and thanks for listening, and get ready for Scotty to do a great job. Thanks, guys.